widespread possibility of the psychic talents. Still think you're looking at a society founded totally on superstition?
Hey, no offense, Doc, but blow it out your ass.
I find this all amazing to contemplate. At another time, I should like to advance further inquiries into this field of experience.
Elmore looked at Christy, who stared blindly at the ceiling, her lips silently moving.
Well, I already told you everything I know. I'm just sorry it don't seem to help your problem none.
Got a new problem. Look out the window. Rain's slacking up. Chemstorm's about to pass over. The Baron's men aren't going to wait around long before they decide to do something.
Late afternoon found Ryan sitting watch at the window, peering over the sill. He kept the stire in his hands, taking small comfort from the solid feel of the sleek steel. Florin lay against the back wall, her breathing shallow. Christy still hadn't come out of the coma that had claimed her. JB joined Ryan at the window.
Looks like the slaggers are still interested in how it goes down.
Ryan followed the line of the armorer's pointing finger and spotted the Coldhearts in hiding farther out, away from the junkyard. Some of the mongrels had put in an appearance as well, requiring the Baron's men to fire at will to prevent the hounds from closing in on them. The dogs had also successfully chased nearly half the horses away after the Baron's men had worked to keep them covered during the chem storm.
We still got a few hours of daylight left.
They can work for us or against us, depending on how good the Baron's men are in the dark.
Home ground advantage goes to the slaggers, though, and those bastard dogs.
We've got our own worries. I need to find out what kind of hold that witch has over Christy, and who of these folks the Baron's men are after. Then I need to get us the hell out of here.
Could be hard going.
Already is. If I knew what to do, one way or the other, I could get it done.
Ryan turned to Mildred.
Any change?
Mildred sat next to Christy's pallet, the redhead lying in her lap. Mildred brushed at the prehensile hair, trying to calm it from the bunch of frayed knots it had twisted itself into.
She's got a fever, low grade, and nothing that's going to be dangerous, but it's wearing her out.
Ryan cut his gaze over to Florin, who had awakened and pierced him with her red-rimmed gaze filled with hate.
How about the old woman?
I figured she'd be dead by now with that hole in her chest. We're talking about a lot of trauma to her system. She's a stubborn woman.
If she dies, how do you think it's going to affect Christy?
No idea. Maybe her dying will ease the hold she has on Christy.
I guess it's time to find out.
Ryan drew the panga and stared coldly at the old woman. Florin stared back at him, an ironic smile somehow blossoming on the bloody lips through all the pain.
Come to me, man. Come ahead and do your worst. No matter what, I shall still survive. Sed quis custodiat ipsos custodes, affronte preceteptium affergo lupi, abscisius abscisium invocat egroto, indentibus enticis frustrum, magnum spinice abes dum anime est, spes esse dixitur commune, periculum concordiam pantua! Tintinius meus sonat, illegitimus nil coberandum.
For a long time, Christy knew she'd been floating in some kind of prison. It wasn't the land of geysers and sulfur stench. This place was a white room, almost 10 feet in all directions. There was no furniture, no decorations, no way to tell what was a floor, ceiling, or wall. There wasn't any gravity either. At first, Christy had run, slamming herself into the walls, the ceiling, and the floor, whatever side of the cube she could throw herself at. She'd hoped she'd break something, find some way out. The walls had all held, and she felt that she was teetering toward madness. In the background, always just within hearing, had been Florin's voice. Christy was certain that the old woman was finding the weak spots of her mind, prying into every nook and cranny she could, then insinuating herself and taking root. At times, she thought she could feel the voice actually inching deeper inside herself. She was no longer consciously aware of the words, but she could tell that some part of her subconscious mind understood them. She still felt the way she had on top of the building, the knife in her hand as she tried to kill Ryan. Herself, but one step removed.
Come see. Come see how your man plays into our little game. He's going to trap you forever, leave you to my mercy.
Why are you doing this?
Because it is necessary. I am of the Chosen. I must survive. You have forsaken your birthright.
I didn't even know of you people.
You knew that you were different. That alone should have started you on a quest until you found us. Your sisters.
You're not my sisters.
Your mother was.
My mother was many things, but she would never have been like you.
You never really knew your mother. How can you be so sure?
Because Gaia has told me.
You used the goddess's name in vain? Such sacrilege would normally be punished.
Then try. You've pushed me out of my own body, nearly chilled the man I love with all my heart. How do you think you can punish me anymore?
The silence in the small white room was palpable. Sensing weakness, Christy twisted in the air until she made contact with one of the walls again. The weightlessness here was confusing, and getting herself set was hard. Still, she managed, finally able to get into a kneeling position on the surface she'd chosen. Then, she pushed herself outward toward the opposite wall. She put her bunched fists in front of her and let out all her rage and frustration. The room's walls exploded before her hands, tumbling away in jagged shards. Then, she was inside the fort where the companions were holed up. She was looking down at her own body, her head in Mildred's lap. She was instantly afraid of the implications.
No!
Fool! It isn't you who has died, but I'm about to, so that I may live.
Mildred!
Mildred appeared to be unaware of Christy's call. Christy reached for her friend, only to watch her hand pass right through Mildred. Hastily, Christy turned her perspective point, focusing on Ryan as he squatted beside Florin.
Now it begins. This man of yours is stupid, but he is determined.
The panga glittered in Ryan's hand, the edge pointed up. Christy crossed the room, having no sensation of walking, just suddenly appearing at Ryan's side.
Lover!
Ryan stared at Florin. Christy read in her lover's movements that he was there to kill the old woman.
The time's come to shit or get off the pot. You're only one step away from catching the last train headed west. Release Christy.
Christy reached for her lover, trying to cup her hand under Ryan's head and force him to turn to look at her. Ryan froze. Then slowly, his head came around. His single eye widened, showing the full blue of the iris.
Christy.
Ryan, don't. You're playing right into whatever she's doing, lover.
Ryan shook his head.
What is it?
I thought I heard Christy call my name.
It's your imagination, Ryan. I've been with her the whole time, and she hasn't spoken a word.
No!
Christy reached for Ryan again, more determined this time. Her hands and arms passed through her lover's body, as if he'd been made of smoke. Ryan turned his attention back to the old woman.
Last chance. Let Christy go. Or I'll chill you as you lay.
See how sure he is of himself. So brave, so demanding. Men are pathetic. And they have the gall to think that every problem can be answered with physical violence.
Florin smiled in disdain, and Christy didn't know if the smile was meant for her or Ryan. Then Ryan struck. Christy felt the blade as though it entered her own body. Cold steel, suddenly invading hot, pulsing flesh. Florin convulsed on the floor, grabbing at Ryan's arm. Christy watched, trapped by whatever bound her to the old woman, and felt her lover's flesh through Florin's hand. The woman tried to bite Ryan as she struggled to maintain her tenuous hold on life. He caught her hair up in his free hand and shoved her head back. Gradually, her muscles relaxed, and she fell away from him. But Christy felt the growth inside her own mind, more deeply entrenched than ever. She realized that even though she'd escaped the cage she'd been confined in, she was more trapped now than ever. Before she could move, before she could think, Christy felt something pulling at her. She turned to face it, then realized that she was being drawn to her own body. In an eye blink, she was back inside her own flesh. But she wasn't alone, and she wasn't breathing.
You should not have done that! You should not have done that to a witch! We could all be—
Shut up, woman!
Ryan gazed down at the corpse of the old woman, his hand still gripped around the panga, thrust into her chest.
Ryan!
Ryan yanked the Ponga free and glanced at his friend.
Got a man outside here waving a white flag at the end of a stick. Want to hear him out, or do you want me to chill him where he's standing?
Ryan stood and gazed out the window at the Baron's man waving a piece of white rag from a wag antenna.
Step him back. If he gets close enough, he could heave a grin through the window if he's got one.
Gotcha.
Outside, JB's burst ripped through the acid-laced mud at the man's feet and threw clods back in the direction he'd come from. Thinking he'd been shot, the man hurled himself to the side, dropping the makeshift white flag and himself into the mud. He started flopping at once as the acid residue from the chemstorm ate into his flesh.
You over there! Come and get him if you want him alive!
How do I know you won't shoot the next man out?
If I wanted you to think that, I'd have shot this poor stew bastard. I didn't think he'd be fool enough to throw himself in the mud like that.
All right, I got two men coming out.
I catch any more than that moving, I'll chill every one I see.
Two men bolted from hiding among the wrecked wags. Neither had weapons in their hands, but they did have canteens. They pulled the agonized man up and emptied their canteens over his face and hands. Once the man had control over himself, his two companions dragged him back to shelter.
Cost me some water!
If we were on more friendly terms, maybe I'd feel bad about that.
The way you sound, you'd think it was me between a rock and a hard place instead of you.
I'm in here. You're out there with the cold hearts and the dogs. Maybe another chem storm the way the sky looks.
Man could starve to death in there.
Not with the rations we found. Figure we can wait in here, see whether we have to take on you or the cold hearts. Doesn't matter to us.
I didn't know we'd found food.
We didn't, Doc. It's called lying to the bad guys.
Ryan!
Glancing over his shoulder, Ryan saw Christy open her eyes and look around. He was immediately at Christy's side.
Hey, lover. How you feeling?
Christy looked up into Ryan's worried face. Her arm felt as if it weighed 100 pounds as she lifted her hand. She touched Ryan's face, dragging her fingertips across his mouth, across the scar that covered half his face. Ryan took her hand in his.
Like I was hit by a wag.
What about Florin?
Don't know, lover. Mine's all a jumble right now.
Christy didn't know if that really was the answer she wanted to give Ryan, or if Florin's presence was making her say that. Was the woman really dead and gone? Or was she somehow still around? Christy hated not knowing. The thing that Ryan had always had with her was trust, even when things were at their worst.
We'll worry about that soon enough, soon as we get out of here.
When's that gonna be? I want nothing more right now than putting wherever this place is behind me. Then a meal from a self-heat. And a night with you, lover.
We're working on it now.
Hey! Where the hell are you?
Gotta go.
Ryan walked back over to the window.